When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection, the podcast that delves deep into the art and heart of songwriting. Each week, we gather around the dining room table to uncover the stories behind the songs. We invite you to join us on a journey to the creative minds of the songwriters who shape the melodies of our lives. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Well, we are recording this middle of August for a October 2nd release. And I thank you for joining us again, the award-winning podcast, Songwriter Connection. Now over a million streams. In fact, last weekend we had our big 1 million party at the Commodore Grill. I had a lot of the artists that you've heard here in Songwriters, and it was just a fantastic night. So I thank you for making it possible. And here's to our second million, okay, worldwide. And thank you for spreading that word. Certainly appreciate it. And all the likes and the subscribes on YouTube, even though we're not a video podcast yet, it does help. Every little bit helps. And again, I have you to thank. Our artist songwriter today does it all. I mean, he's a gifted songwriter. You're going to love his voice. He has his own record label, his own studio. He really does it all. And you talk about a DIY artist. I mean, you can book yourself, right? You can do all the booking. And he's very, very busy all around. In fact, this past week, which we're recording in August, you were at Blake Shelton's place here in Nashville, right? The Old Red?
Yeah, we play there every Monday.
First, let me introduce you. It's Nick Hickman. Nick, thank you.
Hello.
I just got ahead of you. So,
well, can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Can I get...
I'm the one that asks questions, though.
Okay, fair.
But no, go ahead.
At your million party you had.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you do it up?
Did I do it up?
Yeah.
You bet we did.
Well, can I get an invite next time?
Next time.
All right.
For the second million.
Okay? I like to party.
You're like one of the first after the million. So in the you're number one on the second and the 2 million party.
Perfect.
Okay. All right. Sound good?
All right. Top of the game.
Promise? Yeah, because by then you're going to be... I tell you, I remember when I was back in radio, back in the early days. I worked in Cincinnati, and we used to have two major shows a year, the Taste of Cincinnati and Chili Fest. And the story goes, Nick, we had booked this young artist in, like, March to play the Chili Fest in October, and his name was Billy Ray Cyrus. And so we book him, and that summer he's got the song of the summer. I mean, it was the Shaboozy song of that year, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we thought, he'll back. He'll never show. But he did. And we had 50,000 people packing the streets and sitting, hanging off of light poles on the buildings and stuff. It was absolutely incredible. Jeffrey Steele's band opened up, and Jeffrey to this day says that was the Elvis show. So if you're the same way, remember, you promised.
Man,
it could happen for you, man.
I hope. But yeah. I know a similar story, too. A buddy of mine did a concert in Florida.
Uh-huh.
In 2009, before Florida Georgia Line blew up, he booked them for $2,500.
Oh, my God.
They signed a contract. Crews blew up. Mm. 3 months later, that show was scheduled to happen. They showed up and played for $2,500 with the number one song. And we're not talking about number one. We're talking about number one.
Number one.
Crews was so big.
For a long time.
Like, you talk about that's the beauty of getting an artist that you believe in and love early.
Mm-hmm.
Make them sign that contract. Get them for $3,000. Because I promise you, you won't be getting Florida Georgia Line for $3,000 anytime soon.
No, absolutely not.
Take advantage of it.
And that song kind of created a whole new genre within country, a subgenre in country music.
You dag 'em right, it did.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about you. You come from Harriman, Tennessee, and that's East Tennessee, correct?
Yeah, East Tennessee, yep.
From what I remember from history, there's three. We used to come down a lot to Nashville throughout the radio careers and just to write and stuff. And you always see the flag, and it has the three stars. And somebody once told me that stood for West, Middle, and East Tennessee. Is that true?
I don't know if it's true.
I shouldn't even be, but you're from the east of Texas. Were you kind of like in the Smokies then?
Yes, about 45 minutes from heaven. I mean, the Smokies.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And yeah, I heard you say you like to go back there to write, do the songwriting retreats.
Yeah, twice a year we'll go. Now, me and my wife will go twice a year too, so I'm on Gatlinburg four or five times a year.
Oh, I loved it there. I love it there.
That's where I use my points.
Yeah.
So all the Hilton Honor points I get throughout the year from touring. We use them to get free rooms in Gatlinburg.
That's great.
Or cabins or whatever we use them for.
Yeah. Oh, I love the cabins. I love to just sit there in a cabin, you know, in that beautiful scenery. You can't help but being, you know, inspired, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's good. You guys will lock up for 3-4 days and just go to town, right?
Well, yes and no. So we do a little different. I think the biggest killer of creativity is no or restrictions. So when we go up, me and Jeff, my best friend and guitarist, we usually do all the writing together, or I'll write by myself. But typically when I write by myself, it's at home when I feel it. But when on our writer's retreats, we don't have any no-nos. If we want to drink, we drink. If we want to go do a tasting, we go do a tasting. We want to go do karaoke, we go do karaoke. We want to smoke, whatever we want to do, we don't say no. So from the time we woke up to the time we go to sleep, we might record 4 or 5 ideas. We might record 2.
Yeah,
you know, like last time we went, we were there for 2 days and we wrote 5 songs. So the time before that we went, I think we wrote 5 or 6 in 2 days. Next retreat, we're going for 3 days. Wow. So, you know, and usually by the end of the year, we'll have about 15, 20 songs to choose from between what I've written personally and what me and him have written.
Yeah.
And then we'll choose the best 10 and make a record.
Is that the case with this new record that's just down?
Yep, that's the case. Yep. Yeah. We narrowed it down, chose the 10 best. And
the title cut you just released not too long ago.
Yep.
So it's going to be called?
Lessons Learned, yeah.
Lessons Learned. Tell me about that song.
Man, it's actually taken on a new meaning for me over the last few weeks. But I think essentially when we were writing it, it's just a mindset of, first of all, I want to be as creative as I can. I don't want to write the same song that's being rewritten in country music. And I can give you the format for it.
Yeah, please do.
I'm heartbroken. I'm at a bar, insert name here.
Yeah.
Underneath neon light, insert.
Neon light.
Is it PBR light? Is it Coors light? Just whatever Bud the neon light, sign is.
Yeah.
I'm missing this girl. Insert her features here. I'm drinking this alcohol from the bartender. Insert your alcohol of choice here.
Right.
And then go into some sort of chorus that you get to within 28 to 30 seconds and make it catchy. You know, I want to write. Not to say that I don't love that. I do.
Yeah.
I freaking love it, actually. But for me, I want to write different concepts.
To go to a deeper place.
Yeah. Not even, it didn't even have to be deep. It just, like on my last record, I wrote a song called Fives Don't Cheat. That's not deep, but it's hilarious.
It is.
Like, fives don't cheat on you. Date somebody that's, you know, got a dad bod. You know, so it's like, I just want to write stuff that's cool. Unique. And that's what we do when we're in a room. I said all that to say this about Lesson Learned. When we're in a room, we just say, is this cool? Has this not been done? Like, let's don't do it then. We'll scrap ideas. But Lessons Learned, we're like, let's write a song about what we've learned throughout our life, you know, and as we were talking about, you know, our growth because Jeff's a big part of this. So
tell me about Jeff. Now, Jeff, he's a co-writer, one of your best friends.
Yeah. So he's been playing with me for almost 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Glasscock.
Yep. Jeff Glasscock. Yeah. So we've been playing together for almost 7 years, but, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, we wrote 2 songs together and we're like, this works. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So we started doing it. And then I have this phobia where I'm like, I got to write some by myself, man. I got to challenge myself. I got to push myself to try my best to write songs by myself.
I understand that. Yeah.
So we were just talking about what we've learned, and I was like, you know, let's talk about what we learned as a kid that we thought our parents were so uncool. Mm-hmm. Remember being 14, 15?
Oh, yeah.
And your parents had restrictions and rules, and you're like, you're so stupid. You're dumb. You're not cool.
Yeah. And do you know, right?
And then you get older and you realize, shit, they'd already walked down that road, and they're just trying to help us out. So teach us lessons from the lessons they learn.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of where we came up with this.
Are you married? Do you have kids?
I am married. I don't have any kids.
Kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. You said you have a whole new perspective on this song now.
Well, my mom passed away a few weeks ago. So
Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, it's not like we were the closest, but she, you know, still my mom. And
yeah.
Now I'm young, I'm not old, and I'm an orphan. I don't have any grandparents. Both of my parents are dead. Mm. I've got one uncle and one aunt left, and a brother and 2 sisters.
Mm.
So just, you know, you start looking back and be like, dang, man, I didn't appreciate these lessons, or I didn't appreciate this person more. And no matter what the relationship is or what it led to, I still have my regrets. And like, I wish I'd appreciated more. I wish I'd listened more. I wish I'd visited more. You know? My grandma especially, so.
The ghost of I can't go back.
I can't.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You said you don't go deep all the time, but that one is. That's deep.
That's personal. Now, here's the thing. Yeah. This new record is the deepest I've went. So there's 7 more songs coming that are
Wow.
I had two people message me yesterday to ask me if I was okay. Because I sent some friends some messages like, hey, we've been listening to the record. Are you okay? I'm like, dude, I'm a storyteller, bro.
Yeah.
I've got a song called Praise God and Roll Tide about a son. I don't have a son. I got a song called Date Night about a daughter. I don't have a daughter. I'm like, sometimes I just write, man. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I'm feeling it. Maybe I am.
Yeah.
Maybe it's deep, but.
A storyteller, and that's really what a songwriter is.
Yeah. You know? It doesn't matter what the story doesn't always have to be deep, as long as it's well-crafted.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, man, we'll sit down in a song. It's not uncommon for us to rewrite it. I'll rewrite that daggum thing 3 or 4 times.
Will you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If I sit and ask the question, why did I say this? Does this make sense? Is the listener going to understand the cleverness we were trying to bring? You know,
is it conversational?
Yeah.
Is it something you would have said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it cliche? That's a question I ask a lot. Is this...
You're hearing a lot of that on the radio today.
Yeah. Is it the same? Is this the same thing that's already been said?
Yeah.
So it's tough to try to be unique and different and do it my way.
And have a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's hear one of these songs, man.
I've got lessons learned.
Do lessons learned. This is my Martin that you're making sound really good.
This Martin sounds good on its own. It don't need me. This thing is sexy. Does your mama know exactly what to say when you die? How does your daddy know to check the oil before you leave town? How do they know when you lie after the perfect alibi? How do they know when something ain't right? Cause they've been there, they've done that, walked up here, there and back, broke some hearts, and had a favorite turn. Stress the truth and they got caught, but in the end it's what title all the wisdom earned comes from the lesson learned. We always see that we knew everything about everything. Couldn't tell us nothing about nothing, cause ain't a thing we ever seen. But you learn pretty quick, in the end you don't know. Take some falling down to admit. Cause they've been there, they've done that, walked uphill, there and back, broke some hearts, and had a favorite turn. They stretched the truth and they got caught, but in the end it's what time. All the wisdom earned comes from a lesson learned. Thank God, young and dumb leads to old and wise. I didn't know it back then, but now I see why. It's hard to teach if you've never been taught, and it's hard to learn a lesson if you've never been caught. Cause they've been there, they've done that, walked uphill, there and back, broke some hearts, and had a favorite time. Stress the truth and they got caught, but in the end it's what time. All the wisdom earned comes from a lesson learned. I'm thankful now for the 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 lesson learned.
Lessons learned. Nick Hickman is our guest of the Songwriter Connection podcast. Title cut of the record that is out there streaming everywhere right now.
I wish I'd have known I was playing. I'd have warmed up my
back. Oh, man. That's okay. Hey, the headphone levels, okay? Good? Okay. All right.
Perfect.
Just want to make sure. Yeah. I should have asked you before we turned on these mics, but that's how it goes.
No, it's perfect, man. That's how music goes. You roll with the punches.
Yep. Exactly. Roll with the punches.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you get a great song like that. And you've come from a deep place and you got it. Tell us about the process from writing to what's next. And then you even got a video on this song that's out there, which was showing how the magic was made.
Yep.
So step us through it, because, if you could.
Yep. So we write the songs. Mm-hmm. And then I'll spend a couple weeks, months to try to craft them to where I think they're ready to get to production level.
Okay.
So then Jeff and I will start the production process. We'll do a couple scratch tracks of, vocals, loops, guitars, just something for the players to play along with to get the vibe and the groove.
In the Whiskey Neat Studios?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Good. That's his own studio, by the way.
Yes, sir. It is.
And then, and label.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. And then, so then we'll start getting, you know, the bones of the record, drums, bass, guitar. And then we usually add auxiliary stuff later on down the process. So I'm crazy. I like to add everything. So I'll do banjo, pedal steel, keys.
You play all these instruments?
No. We hire out.
You do.
So the guitars are the guitars and vocals are the only thing that Jeff and I will like really produce. So we'll hire a drummer, a bass player.
So the songwriting process really doesn't stop after the retreat and you've got that great song.
No. And it's not great usually by the time we leave the retreat.
Yeah.
Usually it's me and Jeff in our unsober state, just with a bunch of ideas and work tapes.
Yeah.
And usually by the time we get to production, they're still not done. But I've got enough of the structure and the melody to where I could, you know, sing enough to where the players know what they're doing. And then I'll go in and fine tune it before I do vocals to make sure it's where. And here's the thing. When I make sure it's perfect, I know my songs aren't perfect. I know I'm not the greatest songwriter. I just want them to be as perfect for me.
I got you.
That I think is perfect. I got you.
You ever get in that situation where you overanalyze?
Always. Every day.
All the time.
Every
day. You struggle with
that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Every day.
I think there are some people that just can't get past that.
I know.
Yeah.
And I wish I could. Yeah. It's very hard.
Yeah.
Especially in this industry, man. The rejection and I'm not where I want to be. Am I not good enough?
Yeah.
Because I asked that question, man. I don't think I'm over here thinking I'm the most elite, greatest artist ever. I know I'm not. So it makes me think, maybe I don't got what it takes. Maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I should be a producer.
We all have that little bit of doubt, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, I think it's healthy.
It is. It sparks creativity.
It does.
That same little voice that tells you you suck is the same voice that will inspire you. All right, we'll get better.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to work at McDonald's? Is that what you want?
That's a good point.
Well, then don't do it. Get better.
Yeah, absolutely. So, songwriters, are you listening to this?
It's something you need for both ways. Yeah, it's going to break you down to your core, but it's also going to help you out.
It's going
to
make you better.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in the studio and you're honing that song. And I the reason why I asked that question, I think that in the studio, is the studio work, the things that you're adding, it is every bit a part of the writing process.
Yep.
And let's say, okay, so now you get it to where you want it. You've got the instruments that you wanted.
Yep.
Now it's then mixing and then mastering.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys do that too?
No, we source out mixing and mastering.
Yeah.
I mean, we could mix if we wanted. We've mixed before. But the problem is once you've been on a record for so long, you need a different set of ears on it.
I think so too.
After I've been sitting with a song for 4 months, get it out of my face or I'll jack it up. Because we take time.
Yeah.
Like on the vocal production and the guitar production and the other elements and loops and stuff, like we're really trying our best, and we'll sit, you know, for days and weeks trying to make sure everything's right and that, you know.
And that's one of the nice advantages of having your own studio. I mean, if you're renting a studio, that's almost impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the beauty of what I've got, you know, because there's a lot of people in town with, like, little Apollo setups in their bedroom. But
right. We
kind of decided, let's go big. Speed. Well, yeah. Because I'm old school. I'm a purist, probably like you. I don't want an Apollo with a processed sound.
Yeah.
I want outboard gear. I want the cleanest signal going into the board.
Yeah.
Then we'll add some effects afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like it shouldn't be have to me. Yeah. My opinion. I don't want it digitally.
Yeah.
You know, amped up. I want the perfect clean sound.
Right.
From a distressor going into the board, as opposed to you adding a distressor from Apollo.
And you probably don't like things like Melodyne and.
No, I do.
Do you?
Hey, nobody's perfect. I wish I could have singing perfectly in key every note every time.
I do too.
But I can't.
I almost called my first record Melodyne Madness because of that. No. But yeah, just a little voice correction every now and then.
Absolutely. I bet you Chris Stapleton.
Oh, I bet he does.
Has to have it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
We can't be perfect every note every time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So now you get it all recorded.
Mm-hmm.
You get it mixed and you mastered.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine some of this process is going on even before that. You've got a game plan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our video guy is the busiest guy in the world.
Yeah.
He's another. See, that's the beautiful thing about this. The guy that mixes our record is one of our best friends.
Yeah.
The guy who shoots all the videos is one of our best friends.
Oh, that's
like
great.
I'm talking in my wedding party.
Wow.
So it's like these are my family that I get to create art with.
Uh-huh.
But Jordan, our video guy, is so busy. So he works for Alan Jackson, but
wow.
He just went out. He was just overseas with 49 Winchester. He did the Luke Combs tour.
Wow.
So he shoots. He does the Fields of Honor stuff. So he's just always busy. Plus, he'll do other stuff on the side.
Yeah.
So it's like we have to coordinate a time where we can knock out 10 videos in 2 days because he's so busy.
So you have it all lined up. You know, we're going to do this one, this, we're going to do these videos. Yep. And he comes into town.
Yep.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. So the video is the next step?
Yeah. So that'll be the next one. Yeah.
Then you're releasing it and getting all that paperwork together, and you got to register it with PROs and do all that.
Yes.
All the administration stuff. And then finally comes release day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's just a wonderful day to wake up and think, oh God, here we go. I'm going to get major playlist love. We worked hard on this song, and then... all right, another release with no love.
Oh,
man. Like this song, it got picked up by a big playlist, but then they change it every week. So it's like...
So for 1 week, it got some spins.
Yeah, so for 1 week, it got a lot, you know? And now here's the thing. I've gotten some playlist love on like I've Been Praying. And
you've been getting radio play.
Yeah, so I mean, I get some, but it's like, it's not moving the needle, and people don't care if the needle's not moved. If I have 50,000 monthly listeners and 5,000 followers, that's not as appealing if I had a million, you know? Like, I could walk into a label tomorrow probably and be like, hey, here's a million. Look how much I'm on the road. I generate X amount of dollars a year. You know, would you want to be a part of this? Probably have a little bit easier of a time than I would right now to go in there and be like, hey, help me. I'm poor. I know nothing. And there's another aspect. So people are always like, why don't you try out for this? Or why don't you go pitch? I've never pitched to a label. Not once have I had a meeting with a label. I've been in town for almost 8 years.
Yeah.
I have never once met with a label. I met with one guy one time that wanted to manage me, but he had some health issues and just stepped back from the industry a little bit. So I've never taken meetings. Because I know, you know, I might only get one shot. But I also know that I don't want to lose my creative edge that we've created. Yeah. Because right now, when you hear one of my songs, it's me. It's from start to finish. That's our stamp.
Mm-hmm.
We generated the music. We wrote the song. Like, I don't have a producer saying, I think this arrangement would sound better if you did this, this, and this. Or, you know, you got somebody that's coming in to do vocal production. It's like, I think you should sing like this or this. It's just all us. So yeah. I don't want to lose that.
You don't have to compromise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, because I haven't taken a meeting, so I don't know. But I'm afraid I'm getting in a room and they're like, well, we love you, you know, because I hear the same thing, like, oh, you look like Riley Green, you're attractive, and you got a good voice, you know. I'm afraid I might go in a room, they're like, well, you're going to do the songs we want you to do, but we'll take care of you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to say,
that's not me. Yeah.
I'd like to say that, but if the world's promised to me, I might, you know, I might have to be like, well.
I don't think anybody would slight you for that.
Wait a minute. So I can have... I can actually stop eating at Taco Bell and eat in an actual Mexican restaurant? All right, let's go.
I'm in. What do I sign, baby?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm big balling. When I go to Taco Bell, I do upgrade. Do upsize because I got it like that. That extra $1.50, I got you.
I love Taco Bell after the late gig. I do. There's one right around the corner here.
It's the best.
Yes, the best. But wow. I always talk about the folks to be your own genre, be your own person. And it sounds like what you've done, you know?
I've been trying, man. It's been a process. When I first moved to town, I will not lie to people, I tried my best to be Florida Georgia Line or Thomas Shredder, because those two I really looked up to when I got to town.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried. I thought, this is what I need to sound like and do. And I went through a phase where I was trying to figure out how I was supposed to dress. Mm-hmm. I've never in my entire life wore cutoff shirts and all the rings and chains I used to wear, but I thought, maybe I'll give off a bad boy image. Like, don't judge me, people. I was just trying things. I took some shots. It didn't work.
Yeah.
I realized I looked stupid, and I changed it. I went back. Because I've always wore jeans and boots, you know, so.
No, I understand. Me too. First country radio station I worked for, the boss said, okay, y'all got to wear cowboy hats. And I just, you know, and we were in Northeast Ohio. Where rock and roll was king. And I just felt stupid in a cowboy hat, you know. But I wouldn't wear it to the things because we had to, right? To this day, I think I look stupid. I will never be a cowboy hat wearing guy. I like a ball cap. I love baseball. But that's me. And I'm saying you've got your own thing.
But you might not look bad in a cowboy hat. You might just have a mental block thinking you look bad.
I could be.
And you might not really
look bad. But if I had a head of hair like you, bro, I wouldn't wear a hat at all.
I wear one every night. I wear a cowboy hat for half the show.
Do you really?
A ball cap for the other half, yeah.
And you've been playing every Monday at Ole Red, right?
Every Monday at Ole Red, and every weekend we're on the road.
How about
every
that?
Weekend. So we were in Iowa last weekend. We leave for Pittsburgh tonight.
I was going to say. And then I knew you were in Pittsburgh the next couple of days.
Yep. So we play. We're doing a 3-day run up there. And then,
the whole band and the whole thing?
Yeah.
The band show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then next weekend we're in Charleston. So I'm booked every weekend through January right
now. That's fantastic. Are you doing your own booking too?
50-50, yeah. 50-50? So I have a couple of agencies that help and then I'll do half.
What's the most important thing you can tell to DIY artists and independents that listen to this show? Any advice?
Yeah.
There's no shortcuts, right?
Yeah. I got a lot of advice, but one key piece I would give anybody is don't quit. Don't quit. Stick it out, man. Eight years I've been here. Eight years. And I've seen 50 to 60% of the people I've met or valued go home and give it up. They've got jobs now. They're not doing it because it didn't happen for them fast enough. Mm. You know, like you got to have that dog in you that's, I ain't giving up on this shit. It says a 10-year town. I'm going to take 10 to 12.
They say 10 years. Yeah. If it takes 10, 12, what the heck? Right?
And it's so you can find you, man. It's not anything other than eight years ago, Nick, wearing them chains and them rings and cut-off shirts and that high-top buzz fade that I look like an idiot. Mm. Like, imagine that guy running loose in the music industry. Mm-hmm. So I needed to learn how to be a man, how to operate a business, how to run a successful career, you know, and figure out who I am and what makes me happy. So it takes time to figure that out. And then I think you've got a better product. I think my last two records are better because I finally am settling into what I do and who I am. And
you found your niche, your thing.
So
the next obvious question is, who are you?
I'm Nick. I'm just a dude that wants to do it my way. I want to write songs that are different. You know, if you just go down my track titles, Turn the Other Cheek, nobody's wrote that. You know, Vibes Don't Cheat, Lessons Learned, PhD.
PhD is a cool song.
Well, thank you. Yeah. But see,
pretty horrible dancer.
Yeah. So it's all conceptual like that. It's where it's like, that's what I want to do. I don't want to write.
Wow. I got you.
You know.
Well, let's hear another one of these songs. Can I make a request?
If
I hate to put people on spots, but I love that Pray For Me song.
Oh, I've been praying? I could do that.
Yeah, I've been praying. And that's a great story, too, huh?
My favorite song I've ever written and my favorite story.
That is?
Yeah. Well, I've got a new song on the new record that is coming out that it's up there for me, too. It's called Hide and Seek. But this one
is
for my grandma. My dad died when I was younger, and my grandparents have always been like a staple for me. They were kind of like who helped raise me, you know,
because
my dad worked a lot to try to provide, you know, but my grandmother is my grandmother, you know, so she's in a lot of my songs too, but I wanted one completely dedicated to her. And I need to work on one for my grandfather because my grandfather was one of the greatest men I've ever met in my entire life. And, you know, anybody that meets him will know because I'm not stupid. I realize I traveled the country. I met thousands of people. Everybody thinks their grandpa's the greatest. I get it. So I think I really mean it when I say just the salt of the earth, sweetest man. Like my grandma was so hateful sometimes. Marvin, go get me this. He'd be like, okay. And just go grab it. She'd be like, I want this much Dr. Pepper. And he'd bring out that much Dr. Pepper. And be like, here you go, babe. And just sit back down and not say a word.
Wow.
Just deacon at church. Just the salt of the earth. But they raised me, so they deserve more recognition than I do.
Wow.
So I just hoped, and thank God that the song got picked up by a lot of major stations and playlists, because that was cool to see. She deserves it.
Yeah, it's a special song.
I love it, man, and I do.
Play it. Sure, of course. Yeah.
I haven't played this in a while. Four, two, three, three, six, nine, 3-1-3. That's the number I would dial if I wanted to hear from my granny. I call her up bed every day just to hear her see that I've been praying. She'd ask me how I am and how Nashville's treating me. Then she'd tell me how she's waiting to see me on TV. I told the folks at church the other day, my boy's gonna make it, just you wait. I really believe in you like I do that old King James. And there ain't a day these knees don't hit the floor, and I'm knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. And God hears everything, son, I've been praying. fight through the tears to say, you know, I love you right. I'd say, yes, ma'am, that's the one thing I know for sure in this life. I know it ain't easy, son, nothing in life is, but you gotta fight. And when you feel like giving up, remember this. There ain't a day these knees don't hit the floor. And I'm knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Asking the Lord to take care of my baby. Cause there is power in folded hands and God hears everything. Son, I've been praying. I'm always praying. Now here we are and things have changed. Machine around to see just how far we've came. The dementia's coming, it's taking it from me. And there ain't a dang tear I can cry to bring back my granny. And it's the hardest thing to have to call her by her first name. Cause she has no idea who I am or why I've came. I just think about all she'll miss. When I make it, my wife, her great-grandkids. She always said, I can't wait to see you walk down the aisle. Well, I didn't, May, and I would've given anything to see that smile. She wasn't there for obvious reasons, and it sucks, and I do feel cheated. But I'll always carry her with me. Her, my papa, and my daddy. And I'll reminisce about them good old days when I could call her up at any time and hear her say, there ain't a day these knees don't hit the floor. And I'm not knocking on heaven's door, asking the Lord to take care of my baby. Still is power in folded hands, and God is everything. Son, I've been praying, and I'm always praying.
That is an emotional song. Amazing. And the whole time you're singing, I'm picturing my grandma, Nero, Mary. She's about 4'11". And wishing I can hold her again. That is amazing. Another from a deep place. And and that's one you solo write.
Yeah, I wrote that by myself.
Because you say there've been, you just got to write one by yourself. And I agree with that.
And that would have been one that, like, how am I going to talk about what I feel and make my grandma proud and special if I'm asking somebody else to tell me?
Yeah.
You know?
They don't know.
Yeah, so it's like,
Yeah, they'll never know. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. Is that one that you had to rewrite? Because, you know, you talked about rewriting and how meticulous you are with the craft.
Yep.
A few rewrites to get that perfect?
No, actually, it was more of a nitpick thing. Like, so I wrote too many lyrics. Like, yeah. Anytime I do that rap thing and stuff, so I had
three pages.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Much. Yeah.
But I had like 3 pages of lyrics, so just narrowing down what I wanted to say.
Gotcha.
Because I got, you know, I have a problem. I get a little windy sometimes. So I was like, okay, let me see how to narrow this down.
Yeah, I had that same problem. So, you know how you cure it as you get into radio.
Perfect.
Where they go, you have 10 seconds to talk over the intro and that's it. And I'm like, what? I quit. But anyway, we got to take a little break. Thanks for sharing that song. Nick Hickman is our guest, and we're going to talk more with him in just a little bit.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Rising star, songwriter, studio owner, guy does it all. It's Nick Hickman is our guest. He came to Nashville in 2016 from Harriman, Tennessee.
Harriman, Tennessee.
Harriman. How big a town is that?
Huge.
Huge?
Massive. Yep.
Yeah.
No.
No.
That's just...
But just this side of Knoxville, right?
Yeah, but it's closer to Crossville. So if you're going from Nashville to Knoxville,
okay,
it's 20 minutes from Crossville, about 20, 25 minutes from Crossville, and then about 45 minutes from Knoxville.
Awesome.
40 with no traffic, maybe 35.
Or is a Bucky's nearby? So.
Oh, yeah. Bucky's is 20 miles. Oh, see, Bucky's is exit 320.
320.
Harriman's 347, so about 20. But you can get on at Airport Road, which is 340, which puts you 20 miles from Bucky's.
Wow. So I know right where you are. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty cool. And you've had a chance since you've been here to open up for some great artists. Share the stage with Blake Shelton and Lee Bryce and Jason Aldean, and there's a lot more. How cool is that?
It's not.
It's not. No. You didn't dig that at all.
Here's the thing. At the time, I thought I was the coolest, but people have always asked me. Like, literally, I just had this conversation come up the other day. People always ask me, like, why aren't you opening for people now? Like, even my wife's parents or family are like, why aren't you playing with these people? I'm like, you don't understand how the industry works, and I do. Man, those opening slots, I've been on them, a lot of them. And let me tell you what they do. Mm. You're opening. You're the first band. Nobody's paying attention to you. The venue's a third full. You know, unless you're direct support, it doesn't matter. They don't pay you anything. So it's like my guys are on salary. They have set rates. I have to cover hotels and meals and gas. How am I supposed to do your little opening gig for no money just to make a cool Instagram post? Hey, I played with Blake Shelton. Why? I'd rather make money and make five fans than I would and play in front of 500 that aren't listening to me. They're there to see Blake. They're there to see these other artists. Now, if you're direct support, obviously opening can be beneficial.
Explain that difference.
So direct support is usually right before the artist.
Okay.
So like, let's say, for instance, we just went, a buddy of ours plays for Megan Maroney. So we went, he plays, they were on tour with Kenny Chesney. Megan played at 5:30. Uh-huh. Kenny didn't play till 9. Oh, boy. When we showed up for Uncle Cracker's set, the stadium was a third full. Wow. Zach Brown, maybe a half full. And Zach was direct support. And then when Kenny, by the time Zach got done, they're starting to fill in more. And by the time Kenny got there, it was full. So it's like, you know, am I going to play in front of, it's still in a third of a stadium. I get it. It's still however many people. But all I saw was people buying beers and drinking and talking to their friends and cutting up. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're there for Kenny or Zach or so.
So unless you're direct, you're playing for the exposure.
Typically, yeah.
Yeah, which never pays the bills. And
it doesn't. I'm a little further along in my career to want exposure.
Tell us something positive, man.
Well, no, I mean, I just love shows. If I can make 5 fans, 10 fans every time I step out on a stage, I'm winning.
Yeah.
Over time, that will add up.
Well, there you go.
So, and absolutely, they're real fans. If somebody's really going to go out of their way to follow me and listen to me and look me up, that's a real person.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
So, even if you can just touch a handful of people.
Yeah, I'll take a slow grind. Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not too proud.
Well, imagine you get if you're playing every night at the same at Ole Red, you're getting people back there, and you're getting also. The thing about Lower Broadway is you're getting a lot of people from out of town.
Always, yep.
So you are expanding your base, aren't you?
Yep. Ole Red and this place we play in Charleston, South Carolina, is the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that's why we go. People are like, why are you down there every other week? Well, A, they take care of us, and B, it's just like Broadway.
Yeah.
It's bachelorette parties. It's a tourist destination. I never see the same person. It's always packed and crowded, and it's a good opportunity for me to.
And if they dig what you do, they're going to tell their friends back home.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So we've met so many people through Ole Red and Uptown Social, where we play in Charleston. It's just. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Why would I not want to play there?
There was a place back in the early 80s, late 70s, called the Bowery, and I believe it was Myrtle Beach. And I remember this group getting so much attention there. And I worked for a little radio station just outside of Cleveland. And I remember listeners bringing me up their records. You've got to hear these guys. You've got to hear these guys. So finally I put, these are the record days, the vinyls, and put the needle on that. And I'm going, these guys are awesome. Turned out to be Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you just never know. You know, you never know.
You don't.
Yeah, you don't. Sometimes it's just one song, dude. And you may have already written that song.
Well, I hope that saves me some. I'm just kidding. Saves me some time and some trouble.
Where's the passion for you?
All of it. Honestly, I love the songwriting. I love the crafting it and making it my own. And I will say, you know, I try to be as modest as possible, but we're a good life. We're a very good life. Mm-hmm. I got a great guitarist. I got a great drummer. Mm-hmm. We've crafted our show. You know, even though we play a lot of covers still, you know, like I'm not out selling out.
Well, I think you have to entertain.
I know. Yeah. I'm a jukebox for people, but we always make sure that the covers we do them right, you know, because I want people to feel like, oh, that was the record or better, you know?
Really? Okay.
I'm not saying that they say that. I'm saying I want them to say that.
So you like to do it the way it was done? And because some people like to make it their own and do a little different.
I'll add an infliction, you know, because I do have my own way of singing. We all have our own cadence and pocketing, but
I love your philosophy. It's great.
For the most part, I just want it to be the best. I want people to walk away and be like, golly, you know? I want people coming up to the show, which they do every night, being like, why are you not a star? Why are you not playing in arenas? We these two girls could not believe this past weekend, these older ladies, that we were not just playing in arenas. She's like, why are you playing here? Mm. I'm like, ma'am, do you know how the era works? You don't know who I am. That's why I'm not playing in arenas. Because all these people, like last night, you know, I meet these people. They're like, we'll get you to this venue, like the Surf Ballroom in Iowa. I'm like, they're like, Russell Dickerson was just here, and this artist. I'm like, yeah, because they can sell tickets. I come up there and sell 100 tickets, and it's a loss for everybody involved. So that's why they don't bring it. When these people are like, why aren't you playing here? Well, here's why. I can't sell enough tickets to make that venue happy or to make enough money to provide for me and my crew. So it's, you know, give and take.
What's the it's a brutal business today.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
So what's the answer in your opinion?
There isn't one. Find somebody that believes in you. Find somebody that has influence and money that believes in you is what you really got.
Backers.
Whether it's a label, whether it's an investor, what it is, you need somebody, because the problem is you can't compete much today. Like even online, everybody's like, well, you can just blow up on TikTok. Most of these people are hiring companies to run their campaign, and they're spending $50,000 to $100,000 to blow up. Well, so it's like the money still runs the world, man. It's you know, major labels still run the show, and we all know that. We get it. So it's like your answer is that. Find somebody that believes in you, because if you find somebody that don't believe in you and they're just trying to gimmick or a market, it's not going to work. But if you find somebody that's just so head over passionate about you that my next paycheck depends on this guy being the next Luke Combs, then you'll be successful, probably. As long as you got talent. Obviously, you need the talent, because some people come over to this town and just don't have it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and sometimes they don't last that long. They realize it. You know? Sometimes they don't. And you see people all the time you'll see people all the time that you feel maybe not at the level of talent you have, but yet they go on to bigger and better things. And you go, why? How does that happen? What? Right place, right time? What is it? I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Well, and I think it's self-realization. I think it's that growth process, right, that we talked about earlier. Because here's the thing. Like I said, 5, 6, 7 years ago, Nick trying to be successful and go to a label, I would have flail on my face. Uh-huh. Looking back on my music, my voice hadn't matured yet. It was just, I didn't know who I was or what I was doing, or I didn't know anything. And I wasn't good. Mm-hmm. I'm for real. I know people are going to be like, well, no, you were good. No, I wasn't. I was not good. I was nowhere near the level I needed to be. I'm still not there, but I'm getting damn closer.
I hear you.
So it's like,
it's a growth process.
It is.
Yeah. And you learn with every gig you do, I think. And with every song.
Every song you sing is another chance for your voice to get better.
One thing is never going to change, and it's the reason why I do this podcast, is I don't care what genre you do, and I don't even like the word genre, to tell you the truth. I don't like locking anybody into a box saying you're this, you're that. But one thing doesn't change. It's all about the song.
Yes.
It's going to start with the song. And I love your passion for crafting the song, and I want to hear another one.
And I say that too, man. We're on the same page. I always say that. It's not about the genre. I don't care if it's bro country. I don't care if it's slow country. I don't care if it's 90s country.
Right.
What's the story?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Is that song touch me? Is that song reach me?
Does it make me want to dance? Does it make me want to move? Well, cause,
or you feel. Know. You know, whatever it is. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's have another one, huh? The new album is out there. Oh, you know what?
What?
You talked before about all your best friends that you work with and stuff. And you got a song called Friends, don't you?
Yeah.
Was it all kind of the same, from the same? And it's a funny video.
That's my favorite. We put the drummer in a wig.
Oh, I wanted to talk about the drummer for a second. Now, is this Sandy Hall?
No, Andy's the one who plays on all my records.
On your records.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm glad you said that. He just texted me. I got to text him back.
Oh, tell him I said hello. He won't remember me for Adam, but when I was doing a lot of coming to town and getting demos done, Andy, many sessions with Andy, and I'll never forget him because he's sitting in that room and he goes, Anna 1, Anna 2. And we used to call him Anna 1, Anna 2, Andy. Do they still call him that?
They still do.
Do they?
They say that he has the most predominant count off.
Oh, he does. of any drummer ever.
But he's got the best feel.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. So yeah, he plays on all my records.
Right.
So he does the drums, and then Dow Tomlin will do the bass.
Okay.
And those cats are like connected and stuff, but
I'm glad you said drummers. I'm going to ask you about Andy, but anyway, there's a different drummer in the video.
Yeah. So our drummer that is out on the road with me.
Okay.
So he's been out with us for about 2 years now. Mm-hmm. So he's the one that's in the video because
we're doing.
Yes. Here's the thing. I love women, dude. I do. They're beautiful. They're sweet. They're kind. Like,
yeah.
I don't have the heart to walk up to some girl and say, "Hey, can you play an ugly girl for me?"
What?
I can't do that.
No.
So, and I don't have the money to make it right. Because if you walk up and say, "Hey, Nick, can you play an ugly dude and give me a check for $1 million? I will be the best ugly dude you've ever seen. But I need that money.
Yeah.
So I don't have the budget to ask. So I said, "Dylan, we're going to put a wig on you." Mm-hmm. He said, "Okay."
It turned out great.
But that song, you talk about funny stories coming along. So true story, we were in Gatlinburg. We had just left. We went to Old Smoky to do a tasting. And then we went to Sutherland to do a tasting. Back to back. We're like, let's get a buzz. So we went to Old Smoky, and then we went to Sugarlands, and we felt good after that one.
I'm sure.
Because they liquor you up at those.
Oh, yeah, they do, yeah.
So we were walking out, and we were like, "Let's go to Al Dean's." A buddy of ours was playing. Let's go across the street to Al Dean's and watch a buddy and have another drink. He's like, "All right." He's like, "Dude, you're the biggest liability," because I guess I'd stumbled out the door without him, and he had been waiting at the host stand, and I went to the bathroom, and I was a little tipsy, and I didn't know, and I walked around and didn't gab him. He's like, "You're such a liability." I was like, "Well, friends shouldn't let friends wander off on their own."
Oh.
And he was like, "We should write that.
We got to write that."
So.
Love it.
We went and wrote it. Turned out funny.
Is that one you can play for us?
No.
No?
Nope. The chords changed too quickly for me to try to sing over.
Hey, I could play it off of Spotify. You want to do that?
Yeah, do it.
Let's do that, because we talked about it. Let's. It's Nick Hickman. We're here at the studio stuff.
Saturday worked all weekend. I want to go out. I logged into my banking app. Ain't nothing in my account. How do I work all the time? But yeah, I'm still behind. Probably because I do this every week, despite my buddy's reasoning. And friends, don't let friends go out when they ain't got no money. And friends, don't let friends get drunk and run up a tab like a dummy. About the time that first drink turns into four, my buddies see me stumbling my way to that exit door. They'll probably make fun of me, cause I'm seeing 10, but she's probably a 3. But they know when I've had a few, ain't too much that they can do. Cause friends, don't let friends go home with the last call.
Life is too short. Love it. Friends.
You dag, I'm right.
Nick Hickman is our guest on the Songwriter Connection podcast. You know what I love? You talk about when you get together and you're going to write, the word, you've eliminated the word no. You're all yes, man.
Yep.
And I think that's a good philosophy going into a write. Because, you can't be afraid not to share something. Because even if it's dumb, you know, you think it's dumb. It may spark something in somebody else that leads you to the right thing, right?
Yep. Yep.
So be free and don't let your ego wreck it, right?
Because that's a killer. I'm telling you, man, the biggest killer of creativity is your head.
Yeah.
Because you're just thinking, oh, is this going to be cool? Oh, this isn't cool enough. Let me wad the paper up and throw it away. Yeah. You know, it's just being free, you know?
Free. Yeah. And that's what it took. A little tipsy and it came out.
You know? Yeah. And here's the thing. I don't want people to think I'm just this big alcoholic. I'm not.
No.
I get in these situations where I will drink a lot when I'm in that moment if it's just, it leads to it. But like right now, you know, I can go weeks and weeks and weeks. I do my job. I work out every day. You know, running a career and a studio and other things is time consuming. And I got a wife that I need to spend time with, you know, so we can nourish and grow that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I'm constantly being pulled in a million places. So
yeah, sure.
I don't drink as much as I give off, I don't think. Or anymore.
Yeah.
Me and my wife sit down a couple months ago and we're like, look, you know, what if I've done something stupid? You know, like, what if I get drunk and drive or get drunk and, you know, because there's been times where I can't look her in the face and say, hey, I didn't do that or I didn't do this because I drink too much. So I've been really trying to
but you know, the situation that you were talking about, you know, you're down in Gatlinburg, your hotel was down the street, you were walking and going from place to place, you know, something like that, you know.
Oh, it's all within the same block. Our hotel's within the same block as both the Moonshines, it's Old Smoky and Sugarland, Al Dean's, and then our two favorite restaurants, Old Smoky Mountain Brewery and then El Toro.
Well, I know from experience, and I do a lot of these retreats myself. We've got one coming up here soon this month, as a matter of fact. We're going to Del Hollow this time, rented a cabin there. And I'm sure there's going to be bourbon flowing. There's going to be bourbon, beer, and tears. But there's going to be some wrong writing, too.
Oh, yeah. And see, that's the thing. We have a mobile rig that's just as nice as our main studio. Yeah.
So wow.
I bought a couple of launch boxes with some pre's and comps and EQs.
So you got into something, you can get her down.
So we bring a setup. We bring a banjo and a guitar and an electric guitar.
Love it.
A mandolin, and so we'll set up all this stuff. We got a nice little mic that we run through, and we set up monitors, and like we do it like a real setup. So that also sparks creativity when you get in it, and you're like, oh god, this sounds like an actual studio, you know, because you know the difference.
Oh yeah, you do.
So when you feel like, oh, I can do this at a high level, right, like this, you know, it makes it better.
Yeah, I agree. I want to hear one more song out of you, but before I do, I've got to ask you about your tattoos. One of the arm. Tell me about this one, right?
My grandmother, when I was 15 years old, bought me one of those Jesus promise rings that said "Forever Love" on it.
Oh,
with the fish.
Wow! Yes,
so I thought that'd be a cool thing.
Forever love.
Uh-huh. And then this one is my faith is rooted in the cross.
Oh,
so that's why that faith is coming out of the roots of the tree.
That's just awesome.
So
it's good to know that you're a spiritual person too.
Thank you. Yeah. If you don't live for something, you'll die for anything.
Yeah, I agree.
But I want more.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I need. Good. I need a lot more tattoos.
Who doesn't, right? Absolutely. All right. Can we have another song before we take off?
Let's give it a whirl.
All right. Our guest is Nick Hickman, and I want you to follow him. Find him on the socials. You're everywhere. You also have your own webpage, which is
thenickhickman.com.
Thenickhickman.com. Check it out.
And I'm not pretentious. There's a guy that had that website that was already Nick Hickman, and he wouldn't sell it to me. So I just like, all right, I'll be thee.
I'll be thee.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Death is coming for us all, whether we like it or not. So I suggest we make the most out of the time we got. Laugh a little more, stress a little less. Made the plan, took the trip, drank the wine. I wanna live like I might not wake up. I wanna make love like we're trying to make up. I wanna see the world chase the stars to where the sun begins. While everybody's waiting to die, I'm over here trying to live. Oh, 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 oh. Till then, I'ma give them all something worth writing. Get a little less about what people thought. Get a little more about those dreams getting caught. I wanna live like I might not wake up. I wanna make love like we're trying to make up. I wanna see the world chase the stars to where the sun begins while everybody's waiting to die. I'm always trying to everybody's waiting on tomorrow like it's a promised land. But there's no better time than right here, right now, to start making memories. I wanna live like I might not wake up. I wanna make love like we're trying to make up. I wanna live like I might not wake up. I wanna make love like we're trying to make up. I wanna see the world chase the stars to where the sun begins while everybody's waiting to die. I'm over here trying to live like I might not wake up. I wanna make love like we're trying to make up. I wanna see the world chase stops to where the sun begins while everybody's waiting to die. I'm over here trying to live. Oh, 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 oh.
Another great song from Nick Hickman, our guest on the Songwriter Connection podcast. That one's called Trying to Live. And, you know, you talk about a unique idea, and I can't compare that to anything that I've heard on the radio.
Mission
accomplished.
Yeah. That's all I want.
Absolutely. Hey, keep up the good work. I love what you're doing, and you got a level head, and, you know, I just like you said, just keep driving. Keep doing it, man, and with all that passion that you have, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, brother. Hey, you got to be Joe Dirt.
God, you
can't have no in your heart. Got to keep on keeping them.
I love it. Great advice. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
We hope you enjoyed this intimate glimpse into the world of songwriting and found inspiration in the stories shared by our talented guests. Remember, the magic of music lies not only in the notes and chords, but in the emotions and experiences woven into every lyric. Until next time, keep listening, keep creating, and keep the melodies alive.